Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
So today we are just, it's just NFL story after NFL story, and it's awesome. We're in that sweet spot right now before the season where everybody's got hope and everybody's excited and people are wondering, who do I start? Can I start this guy on Thursday night in fantasy? It's an awesome time, Mike Harmon, but it's also a weird time. It's weird because of how we found out that Jimmy Garoppolo is the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. Weird because it wasn't Kyle Shanahan saying, hey, yes, Jimmy's our guy, we're going to do it. No. The 49ers depth chart was released earlier today that showed Jimmy Garoppolo on top of it. And then Garoppolo was asked about that after practice, and he gave a really weird answer. Take a listen.
For a while, I told you guys a long time ago I had a pretty good feeling about it. Kind of joked about it, but yeah, I always kind of knew where I stood and everything. And now it's official, I guess.
So there's Jimmy Garoppolo, who had to stand up and say, "I guess it's official. I'm the starting quarterback."
Well, because he was joking about it a week ago,
right? Saying,
right, "I know what's going on." Like we kind of knew what the deal was.
Look. How long is he really going to be the starting quarterback for? All right, not long at all. Why? Because not once this preseason has Kyle Shanahan said, Jimmy Garoppolo's my guy. Not once has he quieted the masses by saying, Jimmy is our guy. No. He's been coy about it all along, and he's coy about it now. Wouldn't say anything now that Jimmy Garoppolo's the guy. I understand, hey, we want to make sure they prepare for both quarterbacks, but really, you want your quarterback to know that he's the guy at this point in the game. All right, you're not going to sit back and, it's the Lions. I mean, we got to prepare for like 11 different guys. What if Steve Young plays quarterback? Yeah, I get the whole competitive advantage part of it, but you've not once said all summer long, you said, well, Jimmy's our, why would you even ask me about that? But is Jimmy your guy? Why would you even ask me? Can you answer the question? No, I'm not going to answer the question because I feel like I've answered it. No, you haven't answered it. Is Jimmy your guy? I've answered that already. That's kind of what Kyle Shanahan's done. It's like gaslighting America when he's asked about his quarterback situation. And you had to have your quarterback answer the question at a press conference today if he's the starter, and him to say, well, yeah, I guess it's official. It's never the quarterback's place to say he's the starting quarterback. So really, is he the starting quarterback? How long is he really going to play for? All right, this has been under a shroud of secrecy for so long. I can't take that he's even going to be the quarterback after this week. Right? I get, hey, you want to start Jimmy Garoppolo before at the beginning of the season because they're playing two easy games early. You'll want to screw it up. You'll start the season 2-0. You have a very fortuitous schedule. You open up against the Lions. It's easy. All right, I understand that. I get it. But to not even say, hey, Jimmy's our guy and Trey will play. I mean, even Bill Belichick has given us more than that. Hey, Cam's the guy, but when Mac's ready, he's the guy. Well, you didn't lie to us. That's exactly what happened. Mac was ready. He became the guy. But the Niners, not once have they stood up and said, yo, no, Jimmy, he's our guy. He is absolutely our guy. No, but why won't you talk about it? No. He's our guy. And now we're not talking about it anymore. And now when it comes to the day where you think you'd have announcing the starting quarterback, your starting quarterback has to do it and not your head coach. That's just stupid. I mean, so really, how long does he have? A game? A half? How long? I mean, until we see Trey Lance. It's happening way sooner than anybody thought.
68% completion percentage for his career, and he wins 75% of his games with the 2-1 touchdown to interception ratio. Takes care of the ball, and these guys stay healthy, and they get back to their winning ways of 2 years ago. Yeah, there's no reason to turn the keys over to Trey Lance. And in the end, you know, maybe they just like a little bit of mystery in the air. They like to keep people guessing. I don't know. It's dumb. Okay, I get it. I'll be the first to agree with you. And that doesn't happen on this show often without a bunch of caveats and stipulations there within. But, you know, in this particular case, yeah, I think you're going to see Trey Lance, even in week one. Just like with the Bears, Sean McVay saying, hey, I expect we'll probably see Justin Fields at some point. But for now, Andy Dalton is QB1. Likewise here, even if they don't want to go and have a ticker tape parade and do a bunch of speeches about the greatness of Jimmy Garoppolo, is the guy, at least for now. Doing all the talking doesn't do anything because his play on the field is really all that matters, right? Going up and convincing the scribes and the pundits that he's your guy, what the hell is that? That's nothing. It's good for us. Okay, we don't have to think about it anymore. They decided he was QB1. I mean, they didn't have to get mocked for an Instagram post for the last 2 months as everybody expected to see Trey Lance come out. And Trey Lance did a couple of very exciting things in the preseason. He also had a number of plays where you went, yeah, that's a rookie. Mm-hmm. And obviously playing with the ones versus the twos, all that. I get all that. I don't think you're beholden with the roster that you have and the expectations of that city and of that team to go to Trey Lance unless he's truly ready. Jimmy Garoppolo historically will find his way to the injury list at some point. If he's healthy, he's ready to lead that team and you have a good balanced attack and two winnable games right off the jump. So he may not be QB1 for the second quarter of your NFL season, but for now, you celebrate that hair and all of those NIL deals that he's cutting with different fashion designers. And you love it, Smith. You love it.
Here's how you know, right? Here's how you know that sometimes coaches want to think they're the smartest guy in the room. Here's Kyle Shanahan. Ask today, who's your starting quarterback? A day the depth chart comes out and Garoppolo's got to say it. Here's what Kyle Shanahan said, quote, "I'm not going to answer that because I feel like all you guys have got to do is look how I've talked since July 27th. We're asking you, just say he's the quarterback or not. No, not enough. No, that's not enough. I almost wish I wasn't hard-headed with it, but I feel like you guys have been a little hard-headed and keep asking. I feel like I've already answered it, so I'll keep it at that." If you said who the quarterback was, people would stop asking. I mean, it's that simple. He's trying to gaslight people to think like, no, I've talked. Like there was a big press conference where he said, Jimmy is my ride or die. And he stood with his arm around him and had a poster of Trey Lance. And they were throwing darts at it. Don't give me revisionist history of things that didn't happen. You've been asked time and again to say, Jimmy is your guy or he's not, or we're going to see how it goes. And the 49ers can't get that right. You know what? Everybody knows you have a quarterback derby. Hey, Jimmy's the guy. And when Trey is ready, we feel Trey is ready. Trey will play. That's it. That's all you have to say. But because you're so scared of saying one thing and because it's going to be a domino event, and boy, if we say this and we go back on our word here and then, you know, Trey Lance is going to think this of us and then Jimmy Garoppolo is going to think this of us. Oh, my, you guys are really overthinking it, man. You really are. But really,
but Jason, am I not wrong in saying, and this is the big blanket to cover everybody up, does every young coach not come across as wanting to be the smartest guy in the room? Show me one of them.
But every one of those guys is like,
I've reinvented the wheel.
There's no gain here. There's no gain as if it's, hey, we have two quarterbacks that could play this week because one is injured or one is coming back from injury. I'm not going to name my starter because I really want the other team to prepare for two guys. That I get. I completely understand that. And if you really want to say what would be said is that, well, you know, hey, Jimmy is our guy, but, you know, we could see Trey a little bit. So I don't know. We'll see. That's what. Okay, now we got to get ready for these special formations.
Yeah, but why has he got to say it?
When Trey Lance gets it. No, but that's how you say it if you want teams prepare for two guys. I mean, obviously, if at this point the team needs to know, and now the team knows that there's no confidence in Jimmy Garoppolo. The team knows because I'm going to tell you guys in the locker room. You think that works? I'm going to tell you guys in the locker room, but then when the media asks, I'm not going to say anything. You think that us against the world thing works? It doesn't. It doesn't.
I would suggest there's more to the conversation of, hey, guys, we've made our decision. Because, again, we go back a week ago. I think they've known this for a week. Just nobody's talking about it outwardly.
This is an easier thing for him to debunk and not have to dog him throughout the season. Name a starting quarterback. Jimmy's our guy. Well, I've said that Jimmy's our guy for a while, and I've talked about it. Wait, well, I'm asking you now because this is how it works in the NFL. When you have two quarterbacks and there's a quarterback competition, this is how it goes. I'm sorry, but this is what happens. These are the questions you have to answer. We're not asking you about your family. We're not asking you for your social security number. We're not saying to you, hey, I have a lot of money, but I'm in prison in Zimbabwe, and if you can wire me your bank account number, I can get my money that I need and I can forward it to you. We're asking you where
the situation is with quarterback. You ever write back and ask questions to any of those?
Hey, you never followed up. I was going to to send you guys all kinds of cash.
Yeah, that second paragraph read a little odd, so I had a couple of follow-up questions. I needed a little bit of specificity. But you know what the biggest statement Shanahan's going to make on this whole topic? When the 49ers get the ball for the first time on Sunday, who runs out with the offense? There it is. There's his answer. And he can wave to all of the pundits and scribes in the media section of the stadium and say, "Hi, guys, there he is."
If the Trey Lance era wasn't close, okay, if the Trey Lance era was not close, they would say, Jimmy's our guy, Trey needs to learn, right? Let's end this storyline right now. Let's end the drama right now. Trey is a guy that needs some time. Jimmy is our quarterback, right? Because if Trey Lance really wasn't ready, that would be the message. But the fact that Kyle Shanahan feels I got to jump through hoops and be cagey with the media and with the press and what I say when I say I said who the quarterback was when I really didn't say it, this tells me the Trey Lance era is coming really, really soon. Because they're trying to find a way to get through these first game or two. Hey, is it going to be with Jimmy? Do we go to Trey? Is Trey going to wind up playing the whole time? If it's a bad half of football for Jimmy Garoppolo, they'll go to Trey Lance in the second half. If it's a 10-3 game at halftime against the Lions, Trey Lance is coming out for the second half. The era of Trey Lance is so incredibly close, and Kyle Shanahan trying to find a way to push that discussion out has really just been able to confirm it for all of us. I mean, that's really what he's done.
Well, he's really doing it at my urging as well. Number one, I'll get back to that in a sec. But, you know, you treat the guys in the locker room as grown-ups, and I'd like to think that they understand the situation, and all the chatter outside is, well, just that, chatter. So if folks want to spend their energy on that and wishing, wanting, hoping that they have perfect information there, have at it. As for the other, I need to make sure Shanahan really knows that for the purpose of our show and for my entertainment especially, Jimmy Garoppolo needs to stay the quarterback. Because otherwise we lose all those drops that Teichert has at his disposal. We don't get any slipping Jimmy references going back to Better Call Saul.
Oh, look at you, slipping Jimmy. That's the first Jimmy for the last 10 minutes, Teichert. What have you been doing, man?
I've been listening to your amazing rants, guys.
No, because usually
that's
you just
good. Go, Teichert.
No, but where are the Jimmies, man?
They're right here.
Listen, people want to hear the Jimmies. And
they wanted to hear those hot takes, Jay.
They do, but they also want to hear the Jimmies. They expect to hear the Jimmies, and you give
them a good
one
time?
Jimmy. You give us one Jimmy in 10 minutes.
Jimmy.
There you go. Give me another one.
Jimmy!
And one more to make up for lost time.
You're so needy. Fine.
Jimmy.
Well, I want to give people what they want, and you apparently don't. You're the Kyle Shanahan of this show.
Sometimes people get in such a riff, Jay, you just sit there and bask.
Okay.
No, it's good. Can I also just, you know, I brought up
the translation, the translation was sometimes you just get caught up on Spotify or Tinder and I'm not paying attention and then I hear my name and that's when I pop on and go, hey, I have airtime now. What do you want, guys? I'm Alex Teichert. Follow me on Twitter, Alex Teichert.
It's actually Bumble, but thank you.
Oh, okay. You're on Bumble. All right, there you go.
I've made a few bucks investing in their stock, but that's a whole other discussion for another time. Since I brought up Slippin' Jimmy, it was great to see the video and photos of Bob Odenkirk getting back to work after his heart issue of a month ago. So back to the work of Better Call Saul. Master thespian, just like, you know, our guy David Gascon.
Master thespian.
Like
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So there's everything you need to know about Jimmy.
Jimmy.
There's everything you need to know about Jimmy.
Jimmy!
Everything you need to know about Jimmy.
Jimmy.
There we go. Telling you, the Trey Lance era is immediately upon us. Halftime against the Lions, and we'll see Trey Lance if it's a bad first half.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Joining us now on the hotline, there's only one man who can help us do this. He is the editor-in-chief at fansided.com. He is a Pro Football Hall of Fame voter.
Go Aztecs, dudes. All right.
And he is author of the book Berhalter, A Relentless Life Trying to Stay the Head Coach of the Men's National Team Before He Gets Fired Afterwards. It is Jason Cole. Jay Cole, what's happening?
Well, you guys could just continue on because this is more than I've heard about the U.S. Men's National Team in the last 6 months.
Well, you've been writing books. I mean, you know, that's I understand. You know, sometimes you've been writing books.
I'm trying to keep Cowboys out of the
Hall of Fame.
Because I'm doing a book on a former rugby player. I wouldn't know anything about this. Yes. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. All right. Well, I thought you were doing the book. You and Zach Wilson's mom are working on a book together.
Well, that too. But I've got. I have more serious work. I'm doing. I actually am writing a book with a former rugby player.
Really? I had no idea. Why? So from John Elway to a rugby player.
Well, this one's a little serious. So it's not. It's not. Let's not joke about this because he did get. He did get paralyzed, so
you didn't tell me that.
Yeah, that's what. Well, I was cautioning because I knew where we normally go with things, not where we really want to go. Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck with the book, and
thank
hopefully
you.
It's going well. Hopefully, it's going.
And then back to Zach Wilson's mom. Okay. Yeah, so let's do that. Yeah.
You got to let that gestate for at least 17 weeks now. So yeah.
I'm glued to every moment of Zach. I just want to see how many TV shots there are of Zach Wilson's mom. That's what I'm counting all season.
Oh, that's got to be one of the prop bets every week.
Oh, yeah, but there's no room for it. That is such an over-under. That is such an under-over. It's amazing.
Yeah, but there's no room for it on Sunday because every time you show Zach, you have to then show Sam Darnold. Every time you show Sam Darnold, you have to show Zach. There's no room for Zach Wilson's mom.
Okay, I'm sure.
TV producer Jason Smith.
Yeah.
Jason, let's just show the other quarterback.
Because this game is going to be so interesting, we couldn't possibly switch on to some other story. Because nothing says NFL opening season like Darnold Wilson, Carolina Jets. Yeah, it's the early betting line for the 1 and 2 overall picks. That's what we're talking about.
Okay, so when Zach Wilson throws 5 touchdowns, we'll see. We'll come back to that. How about we come back to that?
By week 8 or what?
Nicely done.
Hey, how do you see tomorrow night? Do you see the Cowboys have any chance to win tomorrow?
I have a big screen television. It's nice.
Okay.
That's the way you phrased it, Smith. You got exactly what you deserved in a response.
Okay.
It's about 70-inch TV. It's nice. It's a smart TV. I can do a lot of things with that, too. I can watch it very well.
How do you see this game tomorrow night? Oh, there's man. I can watch on my tablet. I mean, that'll be good if I have to move somewhere. I can watch on my phone. It's football on my phone. The big Eli Manning commercial. It's football on your phone. All these things.
Yeah. How do I see the game? Look, these games are usually a coronation of what is the record of the home team, the defending champion in this game? It's pretty substantial that the defending champion wins when they're at home, right? So I get the feeling like this is the closest thing that the NFL gets to a college atmosphere because there's so much pent-up desire to see real football, whether it's good or not. Like, just the emotion is really great because it's the one game. It kind of has that specialty feel. So I think it really favors home team. And so, I think Tampa's going to roll this game pretty good. And the fact that Zach Martin's out doesn't help. That's Dallas's best player. And no amount of Cowboy Bees can replace Zach Martin.
It's a 37-16-1.
Let us say.
Well,
there
just
you go. 37-16-1, fellas.
Just to let you know, the kickoff game has been lost by the home team 4 times. Mm-hmm. The Giants have lost twice.
Okay.
The Patriots lost, and if you remember in 2019, the last time the home team lost, Mike Harmon, who lost that game? Who lost that game opening night? It was 10-3. The Packers beat who? Who did they beat? Oh,
Bears.
The Packers beat the Bears. That's right.
So yeah, I'm just talking about if you break this down into home team defending Super Bowl champion in this Thursday night game, I'm kind of curious. Like that, because it's kind of the coronation game for them. Like, they're still sort of on their big high from winning the Super Bowl, and now they're on display again. So I just think that this game lines up as pretty strong favorite for Tampa. And again, there's nothing that says 8-8-1 like the Dallas Cowboys.
I like how you gave him a tie in there as their ninth game. I like how you gave him a tie in there.
Well, because I've got to account for game 17, right? Like, they can't just – everybody's going to go, well, they're an 8-8 team. Well, there's a 17th game. Okay, well, we can call the tie. Let's do it right now. It's 8-8-1. That's what they're going to be. Like, they're a 500 team. Like, over the next, like, 5 years, they'll have five ties, which is just an amazing thing to consider. So,
wonder if you can get a bet on that streak to one a year going forward. Yeah, because we've got a lot of great – yeah, great matchups on the board, about half the slate, and the other half is about trash, which sounds about right. So Ben Roethlisberger, the Steelers on the road at Buffalo. What do you think he's got left in that arm? Smith has put him to the scrap heap already, saying we'll see Dwayne Haskins in a matter of moments. What say you?
Oh, yeah, Dwayne Haskins is killing it in his career so far. I mean, Roethlisberger actually played pretty well a lot of the time last year coming back from that arm injury. What did he have, 35 touchdowns last year? I mean, I get it.
Yeah, it's like a 3-1 touchdown to interception, yeah.
Yeah, like he was pretty good last year, all things considered, you know, playing behind that line with no running game. I get it. Like, the offensive line is – this might be the worst offensive line the Steelers have ever had. So you kind of sit there and go, this is going to be chuck and duck time. But now that they got, you know, Najee Harris and, you know, Claypool comes along, I think they're going to be a little bit better at tight end. I still think there's something there for Roethlisberger for the next year, maybe 2 years. So, and I think he's going to be, his arm's going to be better this year. I think early last season, you know, they were protecting that arm because they didn't want him to throw a lot deep. I think this year he's going to be fully healthy, and I think he'll be able to throw it a little bit, you know, deep. But that, of course, assumes that there's not going to be, like, just five Matador blocks up front every game. Like, Cleveland against them is just going to be a storm, right? Isn't it? Like, Cleveland's just going to bring the house every single time in both of those games, saying, you know, don't stop until you get to Roethlisberger. Like, it's going to be, you know, run, Forrest, run. It just mow him down.
Well, here's the thing, though, is here's where I get to where the difficulties are going to be for Roethlisberger and Brady at the end of the year, where and also guys like Teddy Bridgewater and Phillip Rivers last year. When the weather gets cold, they can't throw the football.
Well, that's
They don't have that zip. They don't have that zip. It's what happens. That's what happened. Yeah. When the weather's cold, they can't throw the football.
They pay you for this. They pay you
absolutely 100%. 100%. They pay me, and I'm very happy.
Although it's cold in December and January, you lose some zip on the ball. I think they're going to be fine. And Brady's playing.
There's losing zip, and there's not being able to throw the football. If the Packers had been able to understand Brady couldn't throw the ball more than 10 yards in the second half of the NFC Championship game, they'd have gone to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, aside from that one that he threw over the top of the defense for the
The last play of the first half, that's as far as he could have thrown it. That 30-yard pass was as far as – and why do you think they threw the pass the way they did?
Actually, he crow-hopped on that throw. If everybody goes back and looked at it, he actually took a running start. That's how bad his arm is. He had to have a running start. It was like a discus throw for him.
You know, you say that, but I teach all my outfielders how to crow hop and throw the ball in softball. You laugh at that, but I do that.
Really?
See what you did?
Your teacher,
Coach Smith going.
Which side are they catching the ball on? Are they catching it on glove side or are they catching it on arm side? What are you doing?
No, they're catching on their – no, they're not catching on their arm side. They're catching on their glove side, and they're crow hopping and throwing.
Ooh. Interesting. I always like to teach the efficiency of, can you combo catching it arm side and then do the crow hop still? Can you teach them to be quick enough with their feet when you do that? Well, that's something we tried because we wanted to try them catching it just a little bit angled so they could crow hop that way.
Yeah, get a little bit off it. That's something I think for a little bit older girls. And once you get into high school, I'm still.
You're teaching crow hop to what, 4 year olds or something like that?
Yes, exactly.
Grow up now.
I want to watch Blue's Clues.
Smith is out there like, no Blue's Clues until you crow hop. No,
Blue Clues. See, I like the way you tried to jam the arrival of Steve back into our collective consciousness yesterday into the show, Smith. That was really well done.
Well, you know, I try.
I miss the days of watching Steve with my kids, with my little ones. So when we're not so little, they're 25 and 22. So there you go.
Well, Steve came out of hiding and hit social media, Jason. So you can go check that out. Send it to your kids and see how they feel about it.
They were big on the Magic School Bus, Jerome Bettis. Right. Jerome Bettis should have hosted the Magic School Bus. Don't you think? That would have been awesome. Bus.
Jerome I had Bettis. One of those Jerome Bettis school bus colored shirts at one point. It curiously disappeared.
Oh, the bumblebee thing? God, he was so great in the bumblebee. He looked like 500 pounds of man just moving downfield. It made me feel like I'm almost in shape. Like, this is good. I like this.
Yeah, yellow stripes are tough to pull off. They really aren't, especially when you get if they got to be vertical. But
especially horizontal. Like, if you put it horizontal, you look like you're a layer cake. You're like a lemon and chocolate layer cake. That's what you are.
Chocolate lemon layer cake.
Delicious.
NFL insider Jason Cole is our guest here on Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah, let's talk football. No, we're into layer cakes with Lemon and Jerome Bettis and the Magic School Bus. That's what we're doing here.
It's a rich tapestry. Yeah.
At some point, this is what's going to happen. There's going to be some enterprising young football writer who wants to vote for the Pro Football Hall of Fame but can't crack the room. So they're going to show up on the big day and say, here's what one of your voters likes to do on the radio, and they're going to play just a compilation of the crazy-ass stuff that you talk about and we talk about here, and they're going to say, Cole, you are out, and you're going to pick up your bag
out. Dave Baker's going to be, again, like Charles Grodin in Ishtar at the end when he's like, shoot him! Just shoot him! They're going to be like, take Cole out of here now! Get him out! Get him out!
All right, since this is the last time we get to talk to you before the season begins, what's your official Super Bowl pick for this year? The Jets and who?
Ooh, who did I pick? Jets Panthers preview.
Oh, okay, good.
All right.
Super Bowl preview week one, Jets Panthers. Hey,
Life savings. Let it ride, baby. Just like with Richard Dreyfuss. Okay, so yes, thank you.
That's a good goal right there.
I did go with who did I go with in this one? Somebody asked me about this, and I was going with
Jets.
Filibustering like he's on the floor.
Listen, if you haven't had a chance to make your pick yet,
I'm going to go repeat. No, but I'm just trying to remember what was my favorite one, because like inevitably you do like 17 of these things. And then you forget about them, and you don't like keep track of them, because this way at least I'm going to be right about one team if I can do this, cover it. As long as I don't have the Jets and the Panthers, then I figure I'm not wasting a pick. I think I guess San Francisco on one side against Baltimore.
No,
I like that.
That sounds familiar.
Who's playing?
Yeah,
about that yesterday.
Yeah, and perhaps Jim Harbaugh would look at that game and say, maybe I should go back to the NFL. That's a possibility.
You mean maybe he's not going to try to just walk in and say, hey, guys, I mean, really, just be cool about it and step down so I can come in and coach the 49ers. Just be cool about it. Don't make an issue. Let me just come in.
Could you imagine like a brawl between Harbaugh and Shanahan for the right to coach that game? That would be awesome. A pay-per-view on Saturday night before the game.
So who's playing quarterback for the 49ers in this mythical Super Bowl game that you speak of?
I'm going to say Nick Bosa.
All right, very good. Nick Bosa, okay. I thought you were going to say Jeff Garcia. Okay, no,
yeah.
Nick Bosa. Very good.
All right. Yeah,
Ken
very
Dorsey
good.
Is going to play, yes.
Yeah, Ken Dorsey. Stick figures, Ken Dorsey. Like the guy who wears 11 just so they can look skinnier. I like that. Right. That's what I like.
Yeah. I'm wearing number one. It's straight up and down.
Yeah, because then I can look really slender because I only weigh 172 pounds. I'm Ken Dorsey from the University of Miami. I just have this weird feeling like Garoppolo is going to be I just don't think Trey Lance is ready. Like, come on. And I just think that Garoppolo is going to put it together. I love their defense. I know it's a weird pick, given the circumstances, But I really think the talent on that team is pretty deep, and I like the coaching. And as long as they can keep the defense healthy, I think they're going to do fine. But yeah, like there's better teams to take. Do I really think Kansas City is by far the best team in the AFC? I don't even think it's close. But it's so boring to pick Kansas City. Like, we're going to be picking Kansas City for the next 7 years because Mahomes is just that much better than everybody else, right? So, like, let's take a shot with somebody else on that side. And San Francisco, again, I'll take the long shot bet. So, there you go.
He's on Twitter at JasonCole62. That is at JasonCole62. His book, L.A. Relentless
Life. I am making lemon and chocolate layer cakes tomorrow to sell. They're my Steeler special. There you go.
Yes. Boom.
In fact, I'm changing my pick to that. Jerome Bettis is going to ride into the Super Bowl on the Magic School bus in that uniform, presenting the cakes that I am going to like perfect over the next few months that will be for sale. And then we'll feature cowboy bees on the top.
All right, there it is. That sounds like a winning combination. That sounds like a Buddy versus Duff winning combination.
It could be a John Elway celebration of a relentless life.
Yes. Thanks a bunch, buddy. We'll talk to you
later.
See you, buddy.
Elway Relentless Life, available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy books.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Looks like I'll be here, Knockwood, at Fox Sports Radio with you guys for at least a little bit longer.
Yay. Don't sound so excited, jackass.
Well, hey, at halftime of the United States game against Honduras, I was applying to be the new head coach, and I was going to get it, right? They were going to fire Greg Burrow. I mean, this was it, man. You were 45 minutes away from a coaching change. United States was going to lose to Honduras. This was going to be it. It was going to be, how embarrassing is this first leg of qualifying been for the World Cup? And then at halftime, Berhalter does something he normally doesn't do. Maybe he just found out I can actually substitute before the 85th minute. And he made some big changes. And, you know, a couple of guys that he put in there had great second halves, right? You had Robinson scored. Aronson just scored. It's 3-1. Turns a 1-0 deficit into a 3-1 game that fast. Look, Legette comes in for John Brooks, who was awful in the first half. And while, hey, I get that, you know, hey, we have to make some moves here and look, clearly give Greg Berhalter the credit for turning this game into a victory. I don't know that this was much, hey, this is going to work, as much as it's, I got to do something and I got to grab the attention of the team. So guess what? You three are coming out and we're putting in three new players. And look, the subs played great. They played with energy. It was a different United States team in the second half. And sometimes that's what you need. A change doesn't need to be a change where, okay, this is going to be a case of who you're bringing in is so much better. Sometimes when you get a team's attention by going, okay, I'm going to change over nearly a third of our lineup at halftime because we're not playing well. I mean, I got to give him the credit for that, but I think it was more of a desperation move than it was, hey, this move is going to work. But hey, it was, no matter how you slice it up, it was a great move. It worked. We played better in the second half, and here we are. Look at where we're at.
Yeah, they put up a 4 spot overall. I mean, just an amazing second half, attacking, aggressive, and obviously that jolt of energy once they got that second goal. Suddenly it was, all right, we could really beat the hell out of this team. So they did, and followed up on every loose ball. 50-50 balls were all theirs, and it goes final as we speak now, 4-1, the U.S. with a decisive victory, hammering in a final goal in the 93rd minute. So, yeah, it was a big second half. I think he felt the heat of you putting ink to paper for that application to where it finally became, okay, this is a reality. This guy's coming for me. not to mention the poison pens of everybody watching this, and the scribes, pundits, not David Gascon, but us, and the entire world watching on Telemundo. I did also have a reminder. My brothers liked the reference earlier to Sábado Gigante. My older brother reminded me of A la Cama con Porcel. Now, folks can Google that. I'm not going to do it here. It was great talent and variety show that made Benny Hill's show look tame at times. For those that remember now, the great Benny Hill show.
That's pretty tough to do because Benny Hill's show was, Benny Hill's show was pretty, it was a little, how do they say, racy and raunchy, they would
say. Yeah, and it gave us the greatness of Yakety Sax on a whole other level. Exactly.
So the United States, a dominant effort in the second half. They looked like a different team. But look, they still have issues, obviously, but you're getting out of these first three games now with 5 points, which is terrific. And so it turned into what looked like disaster. Sometimes making that desperation move is what you need. You know, I kind of equate it to this, right? Because usually Berhalter doesn't sub until late in the game, right? I don't want to get too inside soccer on you, but you know, you can substitute at any time. He just kind of likes to save it till the end, like rollover minutes, you know. And if I don't use these minutes on my phone, I can get them next month. Yeah, I'll just do that. I can make double the substitutions the next game.
Well, there was a game earlier today, an English game where the coach afterwards was asked, "Why didn't you make any substitutions?" Game ended 1-1. He's like, "I didn't feel like we needed to." Like, he made none. What do you have? Yeah. Six at your disposal, right? He made none.
Yeah. Don't need to have him. But the situation kind of looked like this. When a Major League Baseball team is playing poorly and you have to get the attention of the team, the manager is always the one who bites the bullet, right? The old adage, you hear it all the time. You can't trade the players, so you change the manager. And it's really not always that, hey, we're firing a manager and the guy we're bringing in is going to solve all our issues, right? The guy we're bringing in, oh, man, he's great. He's a great hitting instructor. He's also a great pitching instructor. He knows everything. He's going to scuff the ball to the pitchers. Oh, it's going to be great. He's going to cork the bats. No, the new manager who comes in is just a different voice. And what happens is the players get put on notice. They go, man, Skip just got fired because we stunk. And if you're a talented team, that's sometimes all you need to get your attention, where you amp up that level of play. And, you know, a team fires a manager. They usually do it before a series they're going to win. They play a bad – you don't usually do it before you play the Dodgers. You know, you do it before you play the Pirates. Ah, now we make our change here for this series. And so a team gets into a good frame of mind. They win a few games, and they get back to winning. But a talented team always – it's just about getting their attention. And the United States is at that point where they're a talented team. And, you know, we're a top 10 talented team in the world in soccer. And you know what? Sometimes you got to get guys' attention. And if you don't believe in the system or you think it's not working, well, if I sit three of you guys down, including one of you who was really responsible for the first goal, hopefully that gets your attention. And that's what it was. It's a desperation move. Don't get me wrong. This is not some bit of great managing that's out of the book of Vince Lombardi. No, it was a desperation move, but it worked because it got the United States' attention because they played so much better in the second half. They attacked the entire time. Honduras was on their heels. The body language of both teams was an inverse of what we saw the first 45 minutes. And that's why the United States comes out with what looks like a really dominant victory here tonight.
Fantastic second half, right? You don't have to play a full 90 or 95. Oftentimes, you just find the strike. Just can't give up the early goals and easy goals when guys get to, you know, start backflipping and mocking you and sliding all over the field, just going down to their knees. That was like a 7-minute celebration off that first goal. I would have been ticked off and trying to run through them thereafter. But small adjustments, and part of this is also still trials and qualifying and trying to figure out what your combinations are. You've been hit by COVID. You had to send one of your stars home for acting out of sorts and trying to sneak folks in and all of that stuff that we've seen play out in other capacities. So the learning experience, but the leash is a bit shorter because the expectation's probably higher than they've been in some time.